Blog Talk Radio.
Today, the Iranian people's cry for freedom is stronger than ever before. From the streets of Tehran to Baneh to Ahvaz, Mashhad, and Urmiye. And from the brave prisoners in Gohardasht prison to political prisoners and prisoners of conscience across Iran, the Iranian people are calling for a free Iran. As heads of state gather at the United Nations, we will come together to echo the voice of the Iranian people in saying no to Rouhani and calling for a free Iran.
No to Rouhani.
No to Rouhani.
I support no to Rouhani.
No to Rouhani.
No to Rouhani.
No to Rouhani.
Iran, under the so-called moderate Rouhani, has the highest execution rate per capita in the world, with more executions carried out in Rouhani's first term than during the 8-year reign of Ahmadinejad. The regime's barbaric acts are not limited to its own borders, as we witness thousands upon thousands being slaughtered at the behest of the Iranian regime and the IRGC in Syria, Yemen, and across the region. Join us on Wednesday, September 20th at 10:30 a.m. at the UN Plaza.
Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and you were listening to a promo of yesterday's very important rally outside of the United Nations, participated by thousands of Iranian Americans across the nation who gathered for one day in New York to speak out in behalf of the Iranian free people who were undergoing just systematic torture, oppression, and violation of human rights every single day in Iran. I want to talk a little bit about the rally today. I want to play a soundbite from President Trump's speech and talk a little bit about what's going to happen next Monday. And my special guest at that time on The Cross in the Desert will be Danya Jam. She's very much involved as an Iranian human rights activist in these events. And I'm going to have her on the program. We're going to talk about the rally that she attended just yesterday at the United Nations. Saw the pictures. It's fantastic to see these Iranian Americans who gather annually every year to say no to Rouhani. 3,100 executions since he's been president in September of 2013. There's nothing moderate about him. He's a murderer. He's a butcher. He took part in the 1988 massacre of 30,000 political prisoners. That was more than 29 years ago, and still there are many families who cannot find the graves of their family members and children killed in that horrible, horrible atrocity that is still to this day, an event that not everyone knows about, and we're doing our best to make the world aware that this must be condemned as an absolute disgrace, a disgraceful act against humanity. And so at the rally yesterday near the United Nations Plaza, there were many Iranian Americans doing a skit to bring awareness about this massacre. I want to play this short soundbite, which will describe to you one of the reasons this rally takes place is to tell the world the story of this horrible massacre. Let's listen.
From those around, I hear a cry. Oh God,
in the summer of 1988,
The Iranian regime summarily and extrajudicially executed tens of thousands of political prisoners held in jails across Iran. The Iranian regime has never acknowledged these executions or provided any information as to how many prisoners were killed. The majority of those executed were either serving prison sentences for their political activities or had already finished their sentences but were still kept in prison. Some of them had previously been imprisoned and released but were again arrested and executed during the massacre. The wave of massacre of political prisoners began in late July and continued unabated for a few months. By the time it stopped in fall, some 30,000 political prisoners, overwhelming majority of them activists of the People's Mojahideen Organization of Iran, were slaughtered. There has been little international attention to this crime against humanity. In 2008, 20 years after the massacre, Amnesty International renewed its call for those responsible for the prison massacre to be held accountable. The massacre of 1988 remains to be one of the darkest stains in the recent history of mankind, one of the least exposed and discussed. It is the darkest irony of this very dark episode that all of its human rights violations, the Iranian government has been most successful at keeping 1988 killings a secret from the international community and from many Iranians. The Iranian government continues to deny the 1988 elimination of opposition prisoners. None of the perpetrators or masterminds have been brought to justice, and none of the regime's senior officials, including the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, has been held accountable yet. You can make a difference. Sign the petition at www.ncr-iran.org.
A horrible event. And by the way, Canada, their parliament, give them so much credit for recognizing this horrific event a few years ago. They have an international day every September in recognition of the victims of the 1988 massacre of over 30,000 political prisoners, one of the darkest days of humanity. One of the things I find just horrible about the United Nations is that a couple of years ago, they elected Iran to a committee for women's rights in Iran. And one of the UN Watch executive directors, Hilal Nour, said, "Electing the Iranian regime to the UN Women's Rights Board is like making a pyromaniac into the town fire chief. The UN's decision is an insult to all Iranian women and all women's rights advocates around the world." Can you believe? Well, they elected Saudi Arabia also to women's rights. The UN is blind, I believe, to what real human rights are all about. This is a group that in the beginning recognized the plight of human suffering and rights. And while they still are somewhat of a beacon in that cause, they are very weak to allow nations like Iran and Saudi Arabia to sit on the board for women's rights. In the nation of Iran, women are oppressed. They are denied real college educational degrees. It is beyond belief, beyond belief. Just one second. I have to close out a tab. It's unbelief how the United Nations conducts themselves. But the hope for Iran, I think, is President Trump. And just 2 days ago, President Trump gave a monumental, impressive speech at the United Nations along with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, what I want to do is play just a couple of minutes of what he had to say, specifically in his speech, warning North Korea and then speaking out against Iran. I want you to hear that right now on the cross.
We can no longer be taken advantage of or enter into a one-sided deal where the United States gets nothing in return. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing, and able, but hopefully this will not be necessary. That's what the United Nations is all about. The Iranian government masks a corrupt dictatorship behind the false guise of a democracy. The Iran deal was one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into. Frankly, that deal is an embarrassment to the United States, and I don't think you've heard the last of it. It is time for the entire world to join us in demanding that Iran's government end its pursuit of death and destruction. The Venezuelan people are starving, and their country is collapsing. Their democratic institutions are being destroyed. This situation is completely unacceptable, and we cannot stand by and watch. As a responsible neighbor and friend, we and all others have a goal. That goal is to help them regain their freedom, recover their country, and restore their democracy. In America, we seek stronger ties of business and trade with all nations of goodwill. But this trade must be fair and it must be reciprocal. And our great middle class, once the bedrock of American prosperity, was forgotten and left behind. But they are forgotten no more, and they will never be forgotten again.
That is President Trump, a monumental United Nations speech serving notice on North Korea that if they precipitate and try to provoke this nuclear ambition that they have and try to attack us, South Korea, any of our allies, that they will be completely, totally destroyed. And I liked what President Trump said about the Iran deal. He recognized this government as a murderous regime, oppressing and killing its own people. By October 15th, we will know what his decision is going to be on this nuclear deal. He hasn't revealed what he's going to do. In my mind, I think he's going to make a lot of changes. He's going to remove the sunset clause so that no chance will at all exist for Iran to develop any kind of nuclear weapons. So I'm looking forward to that very important announcement, and I've been told it's October 15th. We will know how the president is going to respond to this barbaric, ridiculous Iran deal, which does nothing but empower this regime. And notice what President Rouhani had to say in response to Trump. He called it ignorant and other kinds of superlatives. But of course, is President Trump, unlike President Obama, is standing up for the Iranian people. On our remaining minutes today on our program, in recognition of this very important rally that my friend Donya Jam participated in yesterday with thousands of Iranian Americans, I want to read to you from my book entitled Chasing After Rainbows, Stories of the Revolution. The reason I want to read this particular book is because in this book it describes this kind of event. Let me tell you a little bit about this book. It is the story of two Iranian girls, young girls, growing up during the revolution in 1978. And it takes us into the future more than 38 years later when Sahar finds out that her best friend Shabnam, who's still in Iran, has been imprisoned by the government because she's a Christian. And so Sahar comes out of hiding and becomes this fierce human rights activist once again to speak out in behalf of her friend and do all that she can to save her from execution. And this book is based on the story of one of my dear friends on the internet and Facebook, Shadipa Vey. She gave me permission to write her as a character in the book. Her name is Sahar in the book. And what life was like in Iran during the revolution when her father, who was a general under the Shah, was executed after Khomeini seized power. And so in a way, this book is about my dear friend Shadi, but it's even much more than that. It's a voice of humanity. It's a voice for the Iranian people. So what I want to do this morning in our remaining time is to read to you from my book, Chasing After Rainbows, Stories of the Revolution. A large crowd of dedicated protesters began to fill the empty streets surrounding the stage, carrying large signs and posters proclaiming, quote, human rights, not nuclear rights, free Shabnam, Rouhani lied, The bright warm sun beamed down on the faces of the protesters, signaling the first hints of an early spring. Sahar carefully walked around the stage, adjusting large posters of Shabnam and the faces of political prisoners. She wanted to make sure the crowd could clearly see pictures of Shabnam and remember her face when they signed the online petition. Today was a pivotal day in the campaign to free Shabnam from death row in Tehran. In just 1 hour, President Rouhani and his delegation from Iran would be speaking in the Assembly Hall of the United Nations just around the corner. Sahar was determined to make sure that the Iranian president would know about Shabnam's desperate case, and he could not leave New York without first hearing what she had to say. All week, Sahar had listened to Iran make the claim. They had no intention of using their nuclear program to harm anyone, but rather it was for peaceful, defensive purposes. President Rouhani had appeared on many talk shows discussing Iran's intentions for negotiating with the United States and world community for a peaceful agreement. However, Sahar knew that once again Iran was playing politics with the world. It was obvious that the sanctions were hurting Iran economically, and that was the main reason they were so eager to come to the bargaining table. While the world debated and discussed nuclear rights with Iran, the real important issue of human rights was being conveniently ignored. Sahar intended today that the world would both hear and see the real issue of human rights in Iran. She had invited the media to the protest rally. Already, three local TV stations had their crews set up in tents adjacent to the main stage. Today was Shabnam's day. Sahar was determined to tell the world about her best friend's desperate plight for religious freedom. Saeed, Nassim, and Nahid arrived on the stage to support Sahar and share their experiences of what life was like when they lived in Iran. Sahar's goal was to educate and inform the media about the real horror stories of human rights violations in Iran. The media was so focused on the nuclear issue only, and it was time that the world really knew the true story of oppression and fear behind the Iron Curtain of the Islamic Republic. The protest rally was being filmed for live streaming over the internet. There was a potential for million viewers all over the world. Sahar approached the podium. The enthusiastic crowd that had been chanting "Free Shabnam" burst into applause, and then after a few moments began to quiet down. A cool breeze blew across the strands of red hair across Sahar's face. The bright sun beamed down upon Sahar as she pulled her sunglasses over her eyes. The media's attention was now riveted upon Sahar. The cameras began recording for live streaming on the internet. Sahar gazed out into the sea of people and was overwhelmed by all of the incredible support for Shabnam. "I want to thank you and all of those joining us live for the wonderful outpouring of love and support for my dear friend Shabnam." Sahar paused, fighting the tears. She looked at the huge lifelike poster of Shabnam propped up against to the speaking podium. In the photograph, Shabnam was wearing a black hijab. Sahar gazed into Shabnam's sad green eyes. The emotions overwhelmed her so much that she had to turn away and once again face the audience. The audience had become dead still in respect for the moment. "This is not the Shabnam that I remember. The Shabnam that I remember was full of life and full of hope for the future. But this picture is a picture of someone who is trapped, filled with hopelessness and despair, wearing a veil over her beautiful brown hair." Sahar looked down, her voice trembling, struggling to continue her presentation. "We are gathered here today to speak to Iran and demand that they release Shabnam and respect her God-given rights for religious freedom." The crowd erupted in applause as Sahar pounded the podium with her fist. Just around the corner is the United Nations, the worldwide symbol and defender of human rights. Yet they have invited President Rouhani to engage in a discussion about nuclear rights today. There was a chorus of boos and hisses coming from the audience. "But we are here today not to talk about nuclear rights. We have gathered here today to cry out for human rights in Iran, the right to believe, the right to choose. We are here to speak to Iran and say to President Rouhani, you lied. You did not keep your promises about improving human rights, giving Iranians more freedom on the internet. And most of all, President Rouhani, you have not done anything to reform the prison system. And because of your failure, thousands of political prisoners tonight are slowly dying from brutal, silent executions. There was a wave of loud applause that continued on for a full minute. Sahar took a sip of cool water and continued. What I find extremely interesting is that inside of the United Nations is a replica of the famous Cyrus Cylinder. The Cyrus Cylinder is recognized as the first charter of human rights in all of history. King Cyrus was a famous Persian king who ruled over his subjects with integrity, granting them certain rights and freedoms and showing them decency and respect. Over 3,000 years ago, Persia, now modern-day Iran, was the bastion of glory for human rights and freedom. Iran had a glorious, rich, and historical past until the 7th century when Islam invaded and changed their destiny forever. Then, 35 years ago, in 1979, Iran suffered a death blow in the removal of the Shah and the implementation of the rule of the Ayatollahs. Iran became a fundamentalist Islamic state, ignoring their rich history from King Cyrus and instead becoming an empire of slavery. Human rights and freedom died in 1979. I know this all too well. Sahar bowed her head in tears. I watched my father being taken away by the Revolutionary Guard. Sahar paused, overcome with emotion. Then my new home became a dark, dirty prison cell for over a year. The crowd was silent and overcome with emotion. I know how Shabnam feels, afraid, hopeless, and desperate to see the sunshine again. Sahar looked defiantly at the crowd. Over 900,000 people have responded for Shabnam's freedom by signing this petition. Today I'm going to present this petition to Dr. Ken Rosenthal, Administrator of Human Rights at the United Nations. He will ensure that the Islamic Republic hears your voice. You have become a voice for the voiceless today. Iran will hear your voice, and we will not stop speaking out and praying until Shabnam is free again. There was a rousing round of applause mixed with a chorus of chants screaming, "Free Shabnam! Free Shabnam!" Sahar turned from looking at the crowd and fixed her gaze upon the life-size poster of Shabnam behind the podium. With tears streaming down her face, she blew a quick kiss toward Shabnam's picture and then turned back to face the crowd once again. Over 30 years ago, when I stepped upon the beautiful beaches of California and made America my home, I remember the absolute joy and thrill of being free. Sahar's face glowed with joy. She looked up at the clouds with a mesmerized stare. I began to study the incredible documents that this great nation was founded upon, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Sahar paused, struggling to compose herself. When I was in Iran, I remember studying the life of my favorite American president, Abraham Lincoln, and I was amazed by the great words that he used in the famous Gettysburg Address while describing the role of government. He declared, quote, "Government is of the people, by the people, and for the people." The crowd was extremely silent, focusing on every word that Sahar had said. The Iranian regime is completely blind to this kind of freedom. They have no concept of true democracy, and yet perhaps one of the greatest presidents in the world described what true government is. It's focused on the needs of people. It's focused on ensuring and protecting its citizens, granting them free will and liberty. True government is not obsessed with power-hungry tyrants, but rather true government is comprised of public servants who strive to enact fair laws for the dignity and freedom of people. The crowd remained silent, awestruck by Sahar's words. In the great Declaration of Independence, framed and written by Thomas Jefferson, he declared that our sovereign God has created us all equal and bestowed on us unalienable rights, being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As an Iranian American, I look at these wonderful documents, realizing they were written as checks and balances to ensure that our government never steps over the line to rule as a tyrant with an iron fist. Sahar posed. Her eyes had a glazed look. These precious documents are the basis of our true freedom. The Iranian regime cannot comprehend true freedom. They are obsessed with power like an iron fist. As an Iranian American, I am deeply grateful for true freedom. I am deeply grateful that this great nation is based on a God-given right for us to pursue life, liberty, and true happiness. Here we can pursue our dreams without fear. My heart is broken when I read these precious documents. I long for the day when Iranians will be free again. I long for the day when dear Shabnam and all political prisoners can walk free from the oppression and fear and stand here beside all of us and pursue their dreams again. Today, we stand in this sacred place of freedom together and speak to the president of Iran, demanding he respect Shabnam's rights and the rights of all prisoners. We are one voice of hope and freedom for all Iranians. I intend, if I have to give this petition to the president himself. Thank you for supporting me in this fight today. We will not be silent. Today we are letting our voices be heard and saying to Iran, free Shabnam, free Shabnam. That is from my book, Chasing After Rainbows, Stories of the Revolution, a rally much like the rally yesterday at the United Nations, crying out to Rouhani, crying out for a regime change in Iran. And this is what I do 24/7 here on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio, is to be a voice for the voiceless, my dear friends in Iran. I want you to come back and join me on Monday. I'm going to have a special interview with Danya Jam, one of the great voices for her Iranian people. She was at the rally yesterday, and we're going to talk about the rally. So God bless you. I want you to have an incredible weekend, and I will see you Monday again on the Cross in the Desert.
Faithful lightning of his head.